Cube's Big Three is back. The most physical, fierce, and competitive basketball league on earth returns to CBS this Saturday. Three-time Big Three MVP ISO Joe Johnson and the reloaded Detroit Amps battle two-time Big Three championship coach Steven Jackson's DMV trilogy, followed by Big Three's most intense rivalry. Defending champions Miami 305 and Michael Beasley chasing his third straight MVP take on Dwight Howard, coach Nick Young, and the LA Riot. Watch Big Three Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on CBS. Catch replays Monday, 8 p.m. on BET.
Today's episode of The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks and Header HVAC, now better to serve you together and proud sponsors of Ohio State Athletics.
If you are having an awesome time in transfer portal season, bad news, it ends on Friday. If you're having a miserable time, well, it's Talking Tuesday and transfer portal season is almost over.
I just want to say how much fun this has been.
I knew you were having a great time.
I really enjoy the constant feeling of stress waking up at every twist and turn. Do you hear Ryan Day is going to go to the UFL? I mean,
well, enjoy those aviators. Tours up.
It's pretty remarkable. I think he got a call to maybe be in the NBA at this point.
Oh.
NHL.
Anywhere but Columbus, Ohio?
Anywhere but Columbus, Ohio. That is what I hear.
Well, we're off to a flying start. It is Talking Tuesday on The Beat, presented by The Waterworks. That is television's Adam King. I am merely Austin Ward. And this stuff, I can tell, Adam, you just absolutely love roster management and the way that college football is operating. So when we get to a hypothetical Talking Tuesday, imagine in the midst of Ohio State, which, by the way, it's not just departures that are also picking up players. You had Earl Little Jr. You had Terry Moore on the way in. Hunter Wilson.
We expect more.
There's going to be more. But that's a pretty good start. It is not all just doom and gloom, but let's just...
None of it's doom and gloom.
Okay, here we go.
None of it's doom and gloom.
I wanted to make sure that we... I wanted to ramp up to it, but here you go. And by the way, if you're watching on 97.1 The Fan's YouTube channel or 10TV or 10TV Plus and you see us sitting down, it's not just to keep Adam in place because these chairs have wheels and he's going to probably zoom out of frame at some point. Oh, there he goes right now. Come back and discuss your feelings about what's going on right now.
Two things can be accurate here. Okay. One is that the transfer portal in the NIL world are not good. They have created chaos. They have to have structure. We need guardrails.
Yeah.
All of these things can be true. I learned a term. I believe it's sunshine people.
The sunshine pumpers?
Pumpers. That's what it was. I'm sorry. People that try to remain optimistic when the sky's not falling. I am not being a sunshine pumper. I understand that it's not great when you have nearly 30 guys.
I love how you're learning all these new words.
Well, because
you're hanging out on message boards, you're reading the comments.
It's wild. It's a wild world out there. I have never been one to be on message boards. I used to never read the comments on Twitter, really. January used to be like a decompressed time. Like, season's over, everybody takes a deep breath. Now it feels
that time.
I'll tell you this much. It feels like Buckeye fans were having more fun down 14-0 to Miami than they were the last month, than the last week and a half. With that said, it doesn't have to be that the sky is falling. People keep saying this isn't happening elsewhere. Yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's happening everywhere. Oregon's game finished 3 days ago or whatever it was, and now they're starting to see everybody enter the transfer portal.
When they got down by four scores, they had players like their agents are like, well, this game is actually over, so we're going to pull a Jelani Thurman and release that news right now.
It's crazy, by the way. He walked right past me after the game.
Didn't have his phone out?
No. I got in the car. I'm like, goodness gracious. Wasted. No, he's still on the bus. Yeah. That's uncomfortable. Why do that while you're still sitting with people?
Well, I don't think he did. I think that's an agent thing.
That's the whole problem, Austin.
I know it is. But it proves your point. Like, you think, oh, well, nobody else had that specific thing happen in the college football playoff. Yeah, they did. Yeah. It's happening everywhere. These problems exist for all the power programs. They exist for all. Like, some of the issues are different for if you're in the MAC compared to if you're Ohio State, obviously. They are different if you're in the FCS level compared to even a MAC school. Not every problem is the same, but everyone has a problem, which to me is all tied back to collective bargaining. I know that everyone who's been listening to The Beat for the last however long we've been making the show knows that that's how I feel about it. I know that you're going to have a conversation at some point, so we'll, The Beat with Berm and me, with Ross Bjork for offseason updates. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to, you know, hearing what you get out of that conversation that you have with
him. That'll be later today. You'll be able to, Ross and I are going to sit down in this studio. Well,
I didn't want to tease it, and I didn't know for sure when it was going on. Yeah. But like, that's something to,
well, it's teased now,
to keep it out there.
If it's not on later today, something went horribly wrong.
So keep it locked to 10TV and 10TV Plus and television's Adam King's interview with Ross Bjork, because like, that's one thing that I've brought up 100 times. I'll probably bring it up a million more until that actually happens, because that's literally the only thing that can prevent some of this chaos is locking in contractual agreements.
And so it's almost fitting that I'm talking to Ross later today, because I'm talking Tuesday. And the one big question that
should just be a Ross Bjork talking Tuesday then?
No, I've got a lot of questions.
Let's practice those
for
questions.
A lot of people. But I just want to know how this is operating right now. And I want to know from an Ohio State standpoint, what is their, if I come to you and I say, hey, I'm going to take a visit, I'm interested in Ohio State, what does that process look like? How does it play out as somebody starts to go through and negotiate money? And where does Ryan Day and Mark Pantone and Ross and Learfield and everything? There's just so many people. The College Sports Commission, the, what is it, Clearinghouse.
Yeah.
How does this
NIL go?
NIL
what happened
go?
To NIL go? Did anybody ever
NIL
find it?
Went away is where it went. NIL go went away. And
NIL gone.
NIL gone. There you go. And so I just want to know that. And then Ross obviously isn't going to, and I'm not going to ask him to name other schools, but what is going on?
You're not?
I'm not going to say, hey, Ross.
What if I gave you 10 American dollars?
I mean, I'll ask him and then he'll get up and walk out of the interview.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to say, hey, Ross, what are other schools doing? I'm going to say, what is the biggest problem in way that people are circumventing this that's caused us to be in a world where they cannot, I mean, it cannot continue. It is broken. The NIL world is officially broken. And I don't know, other than what you said with the CBA, how you move forward.
Right.
With all of that said, we live in a world.
In a world.
Where we cover Ohio State. And so.
Where Ohio State coverage matters.
You can only deal the or play the cards you're dealt.
That's true.
So here we are with this card that we're dealt. And what they are is a world where we're seeing a lot of the NIL. It's very simple. Like, the crazy part is people are freaking out. Like, what's got to be something behind the scenes? It's actually one of the simplest things to understand. It is players that are either, they're not going to start, but they might get reps, wanting a certain amount of money. But Ohio State doesn't want to pay them that money because they're not full-time starters. They feel like they should be. Like, it all makes sense in the end. When you see, I said on this, funny, I said last week, do you know what I'm about to say?
Yeah.
I said, when you see Bo Jackson in the portal, freak out. Well, almost lost my cool. I
there are receipts for that, folks, yeah. Right here in this phone.
I don't.
But here's the thing about that, okay, too, Adam. Like, he didn't go in. It was a possibility as the week went on. We talked about there being negotiations. And what did Ohio State do? They let the process play out. Bo and his camp came together. This is what they're looking for. Ohio State said, this is the way we're reviewing roster management. This is what we value your position at. This is what we value you specifically at. And it was not fun or enjoyable for anyone not to cover, not to be part of it, of course, for Ohio State's coaching staff or for Bo Jackson. But then they got to Friday and they said, you know what? This does make sense for everybody. And Ohio State, still, as we stand here on a Talking Tuesday, the only technical starter that they have lost is Tegra Tshabola, which they were willing to walk away from as well. So you can still say what you said a week ago. That's their approach, is still maintaining and keeping together the starting lineup and most backups that they value, and they agree on that value with the player and with Mark Pantone and with Ryan Day. Most of those players are still in place. I would say that the only problem, and it'd be interesting to me if Ross Bjork would say this, maybe it wouldn't do him any benefit. Maybe it would. But I think the problem lies in the fact that Ohio State is shifting the philosophy to this NFL-style approach. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really know that going into the start of the portal.
Yeah. Game. Well, I don't know that they knew that.
They have had to adjust and pivot.
Yes. And that's okay. Like, that's the real world, is is everybody, I said this earlier this week, I've never seen something change in real time the way NIL is right now. Like it went from like, it feels like last year was like a, okay, we'll test the waters. If they, you know, year before that was like, okay, only the big name players were going to like add some, but you know, we'll figure it out along the way. And now it's like everybody is all in on, I want $5 million and a starting job or I'm out.
Yeah.
And I think Quincy Porter is the most interesting one, because I think Quincy Porter perfectly fits the kind of guy that is what the new portal is. It's a guy that was not going to play here that much next season. Hey, you cannot bring Chris Henry in. And somebody argued with that. Chris Henry is going to start day one. He's going to start day one if Mylon Graham and Quincy Porter were on this roster. Do you disagree?
If Ohio State did not evaluate Chris Henry Jr. as a potential starter, then they should not have paid him like a potential
and
starter.
Thank you.
There may not be any choice in that matter.
Well, you took my line. Now what am I supposed to say?
We're a team, man.
That's right. I'm sorry. That's the thing, is you cannot pay Chris Henry Jr. that much money and then expect him to come here and sit on the bench for a year. You cannot pay Quincy Porter that much money and expect him to sit, you cannot have Quincy Porter ask for that much money, pay it, and then have it on the bench. It just doesn't work that way. And so the sunshine pumpers, if you will, saying everybody just take a deep breath is where I get it. It's not wrong. It just let it play out. Let the process play out. Ohio State, they need five things in the portal, in my opinion. They needed a secondary that they got some. They needed, when you saw McClain leave and Malik Hartford, you're like, okay, we got to figure something out.
Don't say McClain.
Why?
Say that's happened for sure.
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. Well, when we saw Hartford, timeout. When you saw that
Fahim
news,
Delane, not Jalen McClain.
I said McClain. Okay. Thank you. Woo! Okay. All right. Sorry. Yay! Thank you.
Okay. We're back.
I was very confused. I was like, is Delane coming back? I haven't heard that.
Unless I heard wrong. I want to make sure.
No, I did say McClain. You're right.
America.
Because John McClain. Fahim Delane, thank you. Thanks for correcting me. When he entered the portal, there was a world where you're like, okay, got to figure something out there. Ohio State immediately addressed it. Defensive end.
Or did they?
They were addressing it. Yeah, they were addressing it. But like, they knew what they were doing is pretty much my point.
Yeah.
Defensive end, we can all agree Ohio State wants to get a game changer at defensive end. Somebody that they can come in, plug and play more than a Bo Adkinson. Mm-hmm. And they are currently doing that. Linebacker, they've already made one great addition at linebacker.
Yeah.
And now they could possibly add another. And so, and then when you look at the offense, there's always talk about, you know, going and getting another running back that I think is still in the works. And I feel good about it. I feel they've gotten, what, two tight ends in the portal now?
Yeah.
Like, there's no part of me that is sitting here going, your hair's on fire. How does this team win a national title? I still think the biggest present under the tree on Christmas is the defensive end. If you get the edge rusher, whoever that is, that's kind of what you want to know. Hey, that, mind you, I'm, you know, Kenyatta Jackson is, I believe, this is, I'm just saying, this is going to be back next year. And with that, you pairing him with someone, they still have a great defensive line. I don't know. I'm very confident about where this is. And it's not being a sunshine pumper. It's just actually looking at the roster for 2 seconds and taking a step back.
Well, whether it's too optimistic versus anyone out there who wants to be pessimistic or question the plan or what's the plan or that has this plan been a failure, it has to be adjusted in real time. And you said that. We're watching this philosophical shift to Ohio State's NIL approach and their roster building approach happening simultaneously. And you and I could sit here and say, we have pretty good confidence that whatever plan they wind up on, B or C or D, will be executed and they're going to be one of the five most talented mm-hmm. teams in the country. It's not going to be they have 70 guys that are 4- and 5-star recruits anymore. That's the part that when we're talking about it, and why I say if it was Ross Bjork in here today with you, or if we had a Ryan Day press conference and say, well, what was the goal coming into this? How far off of that are you? What changes have you had to make? Like,
you know, none of it would make any difference for them to complain about the decisions that they made or the decisions that other programs are making that are forcing them to spend more money or alter their approach. It's just the reality of what they're in. I would say, like, the only critical part or part that I would be critical of from this plan is that if you look back at signing 20 players, that amount of money probably no longer makes sense for what Ohio State has immediately pivoted to.
Yeah.
They can't change it a month ago. These were really good players. They wanted to spend them to get them. And I don't think that they anticipated whether that was Quincy Porter that you mentioned, Mylon Graham, Aaron Scott, Bryce West, Fahim Dulane on Saturday.
Jalen McClain. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It was a joke.
It used to be a world where Ohio State and the amount of money that backups in those situations would be earning, say, no problem. That's affordable. That's doable under this cap situation. A lot of those players are still willing to take that time. And I'm not saying any of that to be critical of the ones that left. But, and I think in almost every circumstance that we're talking about, Ohio State understands fully why they're not around. Some of it can be on the player side. Some of it can be on the program side. I'm not absolving anyone in the Woody from some of these things in the negotiations and where we've wound up. But, you know, when, what day did the light go on and say, ooh, you know what? 85 roster players, 70 roster players, paying $1 million to 60 players, that math doesn't work. Here's what we're going to do. And this NFL, because that's the biggest part. When we hear back, whether it's the comments, whether that's on Letterman Row, anywhere else, and they say, well, you guys just keep saying that there's a plan. Well, there are lots of plans. The ideal plan has not happened the way they wanted, but they are not on plan Z. They are not. They're not in a unworkable situation right now.
And I don't think there's any team in the country that their initial plan has worked out. I mean, the initial plan for Ohio State would obviously be
take every good player
and keep all of ours. I mean, that's 100%. Now, here's where people get frustrated. And again, this is maybe here's a question for Ryan Day. It's a Talking Tuesday, a lie detector.
Yeah, there we go.
I wonder if you went back and asked him. Would it be the 2023-24 portal after the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah.
I wonder if you went back and asked him, were you surprised at the lack of players? I don't remember the exact number, but I don't think was up to 30. The lack of players that left the program while also adding so many players, those key. Like, I think that Ryan probably would tell you, I expected more guys to leave in that portal cycle. And
they weren't expecting an opportunity to be able to replace them.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so now I think it has shifted. I think it is kind of the polar opposite, where you're a little bit surprised at the amount of guys. And I think you hit on it. There's nobody at fault here. Like, there's nobody doing anything. Like, if you think that inside the Woody they're doing something wrong, that's where I get really worked up. That's where I get real frustrated, is this idea that, like, they don't know what they're doing, or something is broken, or there's no money problem. Like, it's you can't pay unless you have $100 million. You cannot pay 80 kids $2 million. That's $160 million.
Yeah, that math isn't really
no. Good. And so
even if you're Texas Tech,
which, by the way, every time I pump gas, I think about how I have helped the next Texas Tech recruit.
How dare you?
I know. I apologize. I'm gonna get a Tesla. But I don't know. I don't know who's.
That'll help somebody.
Yeah, that's helped a different team.
When I was driving through Texas after the Cotton Bowl, there was a huge Tesla.
See, it's not good.
Probably going right to the.
Going to Austin.
Or you're not wearing any Nikes, are
you? That's quiet down.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't. That's right. Get rid of your Nike stuff. All right. We can't be helping Oregon. This is just the world we live in. And if you don't think, like, I don't understand how people, and I'll ask, and I will, eventually we'll get to ask Ryan, like, what was it like inside the Woody this past week? I would love, I would pay thousands of dollars to see the tape, because I imagine it's like trying to plug holes while they're actively coming in. Like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I cannot for the life of me understand why people can't just see. I keep saying this, you're trying to see the finish line through the dust. Just wait.
But if you have holes and plumbing needs. Winter doesn't wait, and neither should you, Adam. The Winter Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing is there to make sure your home is ready for cold mornings, icy nights, and everything in between. Stay cozy all season long and call the Waterworks and Header Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing at 614-232-2222. So it's madness. It's chaos. We can all agree on that. It's not fun. And whether it's plan A, B, C, D, whatever Ohio State is on, if you want to be skeptical of that, I'm not telling anyone not to.
Well, yeah, that's
because the number of players and the number of attrition and the number of turnover is not something that we've seen before.
Yeah.
And so that's uncomfortable. And the simple truth is Mark Pantone, Ryan Day, every position coach that's in that room, like in that building, they're not, it's not like they like it.
No.
And it's not like they're just saying, stick with it, stick with it. You know, we know that this is going to work. They don't know that it's going to work out, but they are. Mark Pantone is the best general manager in college football.
Without a doubt.
You gave a stat. Trying to remember what you told me. Ryan Day, at some point in the last 365 days, did something.
He won a Cotton Bowl, a Rose Bowl.
Okay. It was a national championship.
Well, you know what he also did that nobody wants to talk about is he went to Eugene and lost to Oregon. And I think we should really,
well, that wasn't in the last 365
days.
That's
right. It was the national title. Yeah, that's right. He was the ultimate. I mean, we haven't even gotten a full year. We haven't gotten a full year from winning a national title. People want to run him out of. People want him to go coach in the XFL. Like, that didn't even exist anymore. Just let the man. Ryan Day has dealt with more as an Ohio State head coach than probably the rest of the Ohio State head coaches combined. The shifting in modern college football is unlike anything we've ever seen. And yes, Kurt Cignetti's done a great job at Indiana, but find me another coach who has handled this in a way where you say, I want that guy. Because I'll tell you this, I don't want Kurt Cignetti in Columbus. I don't want Kalen DeBoer in Columbus. Dan Lanning just lost by 108 in the second straight playoff game. What more can you ask for? They just won a national title. You wanted him to beat Michigan? He went and beat Michigan. Yes, they lost two games, but it's a little bit ridiculous.
Are those two teams still playing?
They are. Ohio State, this is my favorite stat. It's just crazy. It's insane. 2020, they went to the national title. They lost to the national champion. Mm-hmm. 2021, it all runs together. 2021, was that the Rose Bowl year?
Yes.
That was Rose Bowl, Utah. That one doesn't count. 2022, they went and they played Georgia, lost on the final drive. Georgia went on to win a national title. 2023, they went to Ann Arbor, lost to Michigan on the final drive. Michigan went on to win a national title. 2024, they lost to no one and won a national title in the playoff. I mean, they lost to two teams. I'll get a comment. 2025.
They didn't lose anyone in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
They didn't lose the national championship.
Because they won.
Actually, they lost the spring game.
That's right. They lost the spring game. In 2025, they lost to the two teams playing for the national title. The only other thing.
You're suggesting to me that this program is just operating at an elite level, but you might not win a national championship every single year?
100%. And let's be clear. Here's one thing.
Okay.
You're allowed to be upset. Yeah. You're allowed to be disappointed. There's not a person inside the Woody that isn't disappointed as to what happened down in Dallas. There isn't a person inside the Woody that isn't disappointed about what happened in the Big Ten Championship. They're angry. They're upset. They're confused, frustrated. But to act like the whole program is on fire, I mean, what are we doing? And another thing. You want to complain to me about sponsorship patches on the jerseys, but then you want to pay these kids $20 million to play linebacker? Where do you want the money to come from? I mean, that's the craziest thing. Listen, nobody likes tradition like I do. Husty mastered tradition. But you're telling me if they said, hey, if you let us put, I don't know, the Valvoline logo on your jacket, we'll give you Chase Young. Roosters. If they want to put Roosters on their jersey,
that would be amazing.
That's right.
That's a fun casual jersey.
It's a fun casual. They put Roosters on the jersey, and in exchange, you get Chase Young. I think I'm taking that 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
All right. Does it look as good? Probably not. Is it good? But you know what? Does it look better when Chase Young's sacking somebody as opposed to not? Probably.
Every time that they get into the postseason, you have these, the bowl patches, and you're like, oh, those are pretty neat. That's a one-off. It's just like having a bowl patch every day of the year.
If Quinn
also bolsters your roster building.
If Quinshon Judkins had scored a touchdown with a Roosters logo on his shirt, it would have ruined everything. I understand that it's not. This is just the world. The world is changing. You can either get on board or you can get left behind. And every time Ohio State gets on board, people get mad. And every time they get left behind, people get mad. So you've got to win a national title every day. That's the deal. It's ridiculous that Ryan only played for one national title in the last 365 days. It's ridiculous. I'm kidding for someone that wants to clip that off. Obviously, clip that off. It sounds awful.
I knew we would get to that point eventually on a Talking Tuesday.
The jersey thing really upset. I actually can pinpoint where I was standing when they announced it.
Yeah.
Or when the article went out.
Yeah.
And then my timeline just flooded. Somebody texted me.
But the possibility of this happening has existed for multiple years. And Ohio State has largely kept, they have not tapped into every potential resource that's available to them. Ironically, they get criticized for not having the amount of money or not having a Phil Knight booster or a Cody Campbell or whoever else, but they have not turned over every single couch cushion for money to pay their roster. But that's what they're going to have to do in the absence of one bored billionaire.
I have your bored billionaire, and I have your jersey that everybody will agree on.
I can't wait to hear this.
It's the LeBron James logo.
Oh.
Think about it. Isn't he works with Nike.
He does.
You put the LeBron James logo there.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's going to be upset. I mean, they wear LeBron cleats. Nobody's going to say, what in the world? It's no different than North Carolina having Air Jordan.
I mean, I hope that that's a solution.
I texted LeBron.
Okay. What did he say?
They said, this is not LeBron's number. Please don't ever respond to this number and block me.
Huh. Well, that means it must have been
LeBron. It must have been
LeBron. All right. So I'll text him later.
Yeah.
We'll get on that. We'll have so much more to talk about. Adam King has this sit down with Ross Bjork. On the way. Can't wait to see that. Hopefully,
you're going to watch?
Yes, of course. Thanks. I will be.
Thanks.
And then we'll probably talk about it on the beat,
that's
whatever
right.
You said, to then prepare for our next interview with Ross Bjork when we have him chatting with me and Berm on the Austin and Berm Show presented by the Waterworks. I love Talking Tuesday. I love all the thoughts and the passion of television's Adam King. And I cannot wait for him to tell me later on today how many times the two words sunshine and pumpers appeared in the comments.
Sunshine, pumpers. I didn't know that existed until 2 days ago. But, you know, you say that Ohio... It's just a fact, by the way, that Ohio State lost to the two teams in the national title. Just a fact. You want to get mad about facts? Like, I don't know. Fact.
Facts are facts,
Jeff. That fan logo is repulsive. You can't have that. It ruins the vest. You can't have a paid patch right there. I'm kidding. It makes it look great.
I love. There's a logo underneath this logo I've already shown you because I was at Roosters on Monday.
You are. You're logoed out.
It's a fun, casual joint. That's the end of a Talking Tuesday, however. I wonder how different Adam King will feel in a week's time once the transfer portal window is closed, once the NFL draft deadline has come and gone. Maybe we'll even get some coaching news and we can close.
Oh, my gosh. We haven't even gotten to that. We didn't even touch on that.
Whoops.
Oh, my goodness.
I got him worked up again, but yeah. We'll get to that when we get to that next time on Talking Tuesday. He is Adam King of 10TV. I am Austin Ward. We will talk to you later.
Ice Cube's Big 3 is back.
The most physical, fierce, and competitive basketball league on earth returns to CBS this Saturday.
Three-time Big 3 MVP ISO Joe Johnson and the reloaded Detroit Amps battle two-time Big 3 championship coach Steven Jackson's DMV trilogy, followed by Big 3's most intense rivalry. Defending champions Miami 305 and Michael Beasley chasing his third straight MVP take on Dwight Howard, coach Nick Young, and the LA Riot. Watch Big 3 Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on CBS.
Catch replays Monday, 8 p.m. on BET.